Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
6-8. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, he's back. And more importantly, Angela is back with him. I missed you. I really missed you. I'm so grateful for a church that cares for its staff and makes room for them to make holy, sacred space for themselves. That's such a gift that you have given to your staff, and I thank you on behalf of them for what you're doing for them. So I thought I'd take a little perspective of what's been happening over the last couple of weeks. Since I was last with you, someone threatened to annihilate an entire country in one day. Not only that, but fights were picked with the Pope. Who does that? You know you ain't gonna win that one. And Cuba, gasoline yesterday was $4 a gallon when I filled up. I bought 20 bucks worth instead of 80 bucks worth because I need bread after being gone for 2 weeks. A team of astronauts went around the dark side of the moon. Are you a space nut? Oh, gosh. I should have a NASA emblem because I would love to have been an astronaut. Humankind went farther into space than anyone has ever been and around the dark side of the moon and came home safe. And I got to tell you, those 8 minutes of blackout, my stomach was so tight. And seeing that capsule come down, oh, that was a beautiful sight. Apple's CEO, Tim Cook, has stepped down since I've been gone. And Elon Musk is ramping up to 1 million robots. Lord knows we need those. The Pitt has had its finale. Are you Pitt fans? Oh, my goodness. So I'm waiting impatiently for January. The Global Peace Index, I'm sure you follow that, listed Russia, the Ukraine, Iran, Sudan, and Israel as the most unstable countries in the world right now. High conflict, weak governance, humanitarian crises. If you heard Christian's prayer, you heard the litany of all that's going on in our world. Meanwhile, in Ellerbe, North Carolina, you know where Ellerbe is? In Ellerbe, North Carolina, they dedicated a roadside marker to Andre the Giant, one of the best wrestlers in all of wrestling history. So not all is bad. Meanwhile, someone shared my image and likeness with all of you. I got no credit cards out of that. I thought I might could slip a one or two by, but nothing. Thank you, Annabeth, for being on top of that. And just last evening, more senseless violence? When are we ever going to get control of all that? Things are a mess. And people without faith are struggling. And people with faith are also struggling. So we limp along, we carry our fear, we move through our depression, and we hope to heaven for peace. Father Richard Rohr, one of my spiritual mentors, says it like this: Jesus did not heal people so they could go to heaven. Jesus healed people so that we could live fully in the world right now. We've just come through the most glorious day on the Christian calendar, and we still are living into the Eastertide, and we're still reeling from the loss of special people in our lives. We are doing that here as a congregation. The disciples were doing that in their day as well. And Jesus says to us all, it's okay. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back for you. It's going to be okay. I don't care what the peace index has to say. I'm telling you. I would submit to you this morning, as I said to you 11 months ago, God is guiding still. Not on our timetables, not in the ways we might hope for and pray for, not through people that we might trust and support, nor through people that we might not trust nor care for. God is still guiding. God is bigger than all of that mess. Do you believe that? Amen. Human rights protection higher than they've ever been in spite of things that run amok. Macro and micro economics in the world are showing resilience. Institutions are strong. The church, God's church, is still as strong or stronger than it's ever been. I said to a couple of you this morning, I saw the rain coming down. I thought, oh Lord, we're meeting a phone booth this morning. And yet, we're not. When I came here, I interviewed with the deacons, and I believe it was Trish who said, during the interim, we don't want to lose the momentum that we've started. To which I said to her, I'm just going to try to stay out of the way. I don't think we've missed a beat. At least by my estimation, the things that have been happening around us and among us, I think we've been there and done what we need to do. And we are continuing. Thank you, Trish, for your leadership with our deacons. Worry doesn't improve our lifestyle. Let me say that again. Worry does not improve our lifestyle. My friend David Woody said this week on Substack, every hour spent worrying is an hour not spent building. Every hour spent worrying is an hour not spent building. Worry produces exhaustion. 30 minutes with the evening news, and I am exhausted. What about you? It's just the events of the world that are crushing down upon us. So let me ask you this question. For those of you who were around during World War II, some of you remember World War II. From the time Pearl Harbor was attacked until the time you heard about it, what was the delay in time? A couple of weeks or a couple of days? You heard it on the radio, possibly saw it in the newspaper within a couple of days. Anyone? None of us remember World War II? All right. No, y'all don't over here. I know y'all don't. In the time it took from the attack on Pearl Harbor, it was about a month before we saw pictures. Not we, I wasn't here yet, but before pictures were available. The time lag from when something happened to when you saw it and actually lived into it was long enough that you had enough time to emotionally prepare yourself. On September the 11th, 2001, how long did it take? Immediately. Last night, when a gunman runs through the hotel, within minutes, we see the video of it. We don't have enough time to emotionally prepare ourselves for all of the crush of the world. And so we have to, ahead of time, be prepared. God is guiding. In my coaching work, I do a lot of work with post-it notes, and I always have something that comes to me that I will say to a client, you need to put that on a post-it note so you'll see it. When you're in your bathroom, put a post-it note on your mirror so you'll see it. When you're driving in your car, put it somewhere in your car so you'll see it. When you open up your notebook or your computer, put it in there so you'll see it. So you will be reminded to stay emotionally strong. So this week, God is guiding goes on your post-it note. So that worry does not make you weary. The other thing I would say to you is when you find yourself in some worried moments, pick up your phone and call someone. Pick up your phone and call someone. My last couple of phone calls were to Dennis Taylor, to Rick Jenkins, Keith Vaughn, Rosemary Lynch, and my friends Otis and D.G. Andrews. I called them because the crush of life was just too much for me. And I would say to them, "How are you?" so that they might give me a good word. This past Friday, I practiced that again. We were back from vacation. We were back from taking care of Gail's mom for a week. We were getting ready to figure out what we were going to do for the next week or so. And I just got the blues on Friday afternoon. And I called my friend Anita, who is a pastor in another part of our state. She's been through cancer treatment, and she's been through several grief moments over the last few months, and I know she's been carrying a lot, and I called to say to her, "How are you?" And she said, "Do you have an hour?" Not a minute, an hour. And I said, "Sure, I do." And we talked. We talked about life. We talked about her life and the grief that she'd been carrying over the last few months. And we talked about the anxiety of leading the church that she's leading, that's pushing back on her, as because she is a fabulous leader. But the church where she is, not too excited about change. At one point she said, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And I said to her, well, what are the metrics by which you're judging yourself? What did the church, what does the church expect of you? She said, nothing. I said, the church expects nothing of you. She said, that, well, to be there and to do the stuff I need to do, but I said, do you have grow the church by 10%? Do you have like increase offerings by 1%? Like put new programs in? She said, Bo, nothing. They expect nothing. I said, then how can you fail? Post-it note time. I can't fail. In Christ, we can do anything. We can overcome worry. We can be patient and prayerful for our pastor search committee. We can be loving and supportive towards this fabulous staff that you have. God is still guiding. Do you believe this? God, I pray for our church today that we would be people of faith, not people of depression, not people of worry, not people filled with anger and deceit, but that we would truly be the body of Christ in this place. And I know that we are. And I pray that we would not grow weary in well-doing. We are indeed the body of Christ. Show us your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.